Well, welcome. This is Nicole Branded with Unlimited Life. And this is a very special show today. This is a show about completion. It's a show about beginnings. It's a show about lessons. And I'm so desirous that all of these things that I have learned, I'm going to be able to share and to help you. This has been an amazing, amazing, amazing year. I have had such transition, and as we've talked to all of these guests that have been on the past few months and that we have lined up for you coming up, it's extraordinary to me to see people that step over the bounds and step over their lives. And I was thinking about when we had Alan Robinson on, and he was a stuntman, and he was talking about living that unlimited life. And Alan can see something in a script or hear something in somebody's words, and he's able to create that stunt. He knows how it works. And I was most mesmerized and breathtaking when he was sharing about that he used to have this bungee jumping business from hot air balloons. And when he said that there was no way to test it, that in your consciousness, you had to know it was going to work. And when you thought about that bungee jumping from a hot air balloon and having the concept of running a business from that, and knowing that other people's safety and other people's lives, and that it's just going to work, and that when something has been created in concept, it's already alive. And this year was an amazing year for me because I went out of my box. I went out of the realm of creativity. I went out of the realm of my acting world and my writing world and the fitness world, really. And what I did was I was traveling the world on stage and transforming lives in what we would consider dark places, dark walls. And I would be on stage, and all I would hear was step in, step in. And I would be on stage in front of hundreds and thousands of people who, up until that point, were hardened, were cold, were discontent, were unfulfilled, were saddened, were at war with each other, with other people in their city, in their state, in their nation, or with countries abroad, or even with the universe. And somehow the information that I was given to share shifted their consciousness in a really deep, profound way. And a couple days ago, Mary Morrissey was on stage, and she did this beautiful meditation. And she was talking about if every day in our life, if every single day of our life is a little mini vignette of a life, it has a beginning, and it has a middle, and it has an end, and how we are the only people that get to live that particular life, that particular way, on that particular day. And that every opportunity that comes our way, we have an opportunity to step into that and to experience an experience we have never had before, and how we go about doing that. And then Jed Cantrell was very profound, and he was on stage, and he was talking about, you know, what if, you know, you only, if this is the last time you get to talk to somebody or whatever that is, what would you say to somebody if this is the last conversation you were going to have with somebody and the last time that you got to share, and what would you say? How would you touch somebody's heart? And I was looking at just the past week in my life, the past month in my life, and certainly the past year, as Monday was my birthday and I'm starting a new year. And I've always loved my birthdays. I really have. I mean, I'm one of these people that have huge birthday parties and have everybody come. And it's not really about celebrating my life that I have everybody come and it's about me. What it is that my life has been so unbelievably busy that it is an excuse, a reason, a place that I get to create in which I get to invite the people that I love the most to come together, to meet each other, to spend time, a place where I get to connect them and where I get to look in the eyes of the people that I love and tell them that I love them. And that is why I love my birthday so much, because I have an opportunity to bring people close to me, to invite people to my world, to share with them how very much they mean to me and how very much they've shifted and changed my life. And so we touched on it briefly, but we haven't really talked about Diavolo, which was an experience I had when we were talking about the Superhuman Project. And Ian Wynn is so gracious and so wonderful, and everybody should be finding Ian Wynn in the Superhuman Project. But when we had this opportunity to talk to Ian, I was at a Diavolo rehearsal. And Diavolo is a dance company that was birthed out of Europe. And for me, it's, you know, when you think about Cirque du Soleil as being artistic and being thrilling, and it is, and it's beautiful, and it's breathtaking, and it's undulating, and there's something that just etches in your brain when you watch Cirque du Soleil. But when you watch Diavolo, you take all of those aspects of beauty, of light, of vision, of movement, of artistic talent in human form, and then you up the ante and you put them in the sky or through metal bars or coming out of stairs or flying off of things. And there is a fearlessness and a bravery and a sense of adventure that I've never witnessed anywhere except when I have watched Diavolo. And it's interesting because I've been helping people learn the English language, and it's been so much fun for me because people ask me difference between what is the difference between tiny and small? What is the difference between petite and small? What is the difference between sick and ill? What is the difference between hug and huge, which I think is fabulous. And one of the questions I was asked was, what is the difference between danger and risk? And I remember we posed that question to Alan Robinson, the stuntman extraordinaire, when he was on What is the Difference Between Danger and Risk? And because certainly you can bet on a horse, take a risk, but you're not in danger. Certainly you can, you know, roll the dice, you can whatever that is, and you can buy a lottery ticket, you can take, but you're not in danger. And yet when you are jumping out of a plane, you are taking a risk, and yet you are also in danger. And how do you differentiate the two, and how do you always feel safe? And I did not know why. Since I was 19 years old, I've been so incredibly drawn to the Diavolo Dance Company. And it certainly was on my bucket list of life, Diavolo. And so many times I looked at my list and Diavolo was on there. And I really thought that it was something in my past, and it was what it represented, not that I would be stepping into it. And I remember talking to someone yesterday, and they were asking me what I thought was extraordinary about them. And I was saying that they actually jump in the puddles of life. They're like a little kid. They run and they jump and they actually experience the experience. And that's what I'm hoping for in my own existence, is that I experience the experience always. And so having this incredible opportunity to be dancing with the Diavolo Company B was just me jumping into the puddle. What I wasn't expecting was what I found there. And on the very first day, they had us walking and running and stopping and falling. And they would say, and when you fall, if you're already on the floor, fall further. And when you run, run with everything that you have. And when you stop, halt, pause, like somebody put a button on your life. And for that moment, in a slice of time, there is just this huge pause. And going from walking and running and pausing and falling and walking and running. And then during the course of that, anybody could yell me. And that person that yelled me would fall backwards. And they would trust that somebody in that room heard their voice, and that somebody in that room would be there before they hit the floor. Now, that is different than any other trust exercise I have ever done. Because normally when you have exercises or when you're in workshops or you're leading things, you might have somebody cross their arms and fall back, but there's someone behind them, and their trust is that someone's behind them and that they're going to catch you. But when you are crying me and you just allow yourself to fall, but when you yell me and let yourself fall, at that moment there is no one behind you. But the trust is that before you hit the floor, someone will catch you. Someone will indeed be there. And that was an extraordinary beginning for me, just an extraordinary beginning. Yesterday I heard Neil Rogan speak, and Neil is one of the most brilliant philosophers, mind, filmmakers, creators on this planet in any given lifetime. And Neil was talking about compassion being step zero. That when you are compassionate and when you are in your heart, that everything begins from there. And so if you hear a cry in silence, if you're walking and you hear someone yell me, and you are called to cushion that fall, to make sure that wherever that voice is coming from, you are there. What a different world it would be. What an exercise that was to be the very beginning. And then the next thing that we did was we ran, and we ran as fast as we could around the room and the space. And then we were asked something extraordinary. We were asked to close our eyes and to run. And we were asked and posed the question, what's the difference between running with your eyes open and running with your eyes closed? And the truth of the matter is there is no difference between running with your eyes open and running with your eyes closed. The only difference is trust. Other than that, there is no difference. So allowing yourself to trust, allowing yourself to know and to be and to let yourself go was such an extraordinary lesson. And then the very next day we had somebody come in and they said, it is my job to come in and to actually help you decide whether or not you're ready to leave. I'm here to ask you to please to pack your bags to go home and not to be here. Because this week is going to be extraordinary. And you are going to feel pain, and you are going to be hurt, and you are going to be afraid, and you are going to be all these things. And what we are asking you is to be afraid and to do it anyway. What we are asking you for is to leap fearlessly into the future, to trust yourself, to trust each other, to trust the process, to trust the human body and spirit and soul and the exhilaration and the movement and the art and the craft and the journey, and then to be able to share it not just with yourself and with each other, but with these audiences and these other people that have come to see, to learn, to be, and to be motivated to move in the same direction and whatever they're doing in their life, to have those same feelings, the same exhilarations, those same possibilities. And, of course, everybody stayed. And during the process of lifting people through the air, of flying and leaping off of things, and everybody there flew, and everybody there was a catcher. And for me, that was the greatest lesson, because my entire existence in this particular existence, in this lifetime in which I have come in to teach the unlimited form and the unlimited possibilities, and where I am the bridge between the physical and world and the spiritual world, and whatever is in the body I take to spirit, and whatever in spirit I teach you how to bring it into human form. But for me, the trust of other people, that was new. And also to catch other people. Even though I have taught other people, I have shifted other people, I have, and certainly in teaching gymnastics and in teaching all the things I did, children would fly, and I was spotting what I understood to be spotting them. I was guiding them as they did flips through the air and aerials through the air, and as they were on uneven parallel bars or on the balance beam, and I would say, I'm spotting I'm guiding the movement. I'm guiding the energy. I'm guiding the safety. I'm guiding the vision. I'm guiding the journey. But this was the very first experience I had where people were falling from the sky, at different levels of falling from the sky. They were jumping off of things where you couldn't even see where they were, and it just seemed like the same way raindrops or snow falls from the sky, that people were falling from the sky, and we were all taught to catch them. And that's very different than spotting. Catching is very different than guiding, than teaching, than leading. And so you would say from wherever you were flying, and you would jump off of whatever it is that you, wherever you were at that time, and underneath you, you would hear set. And they asked the catchers to make sure that their voice was as powerful as the movement that was coming from the sky. Because if I said flying, and underneath I had a little voice that said set, I would not feel very safe to fly. I would not have the confidence to leap midair into infinite space if underneath me was a little set. But when the world underneath me yelled set, and it equaled my vibration and my veracity and my joy and my bliss and my speed and my enthusiasm in which I was about to fly, and I heard set, I would leap into infinite space. And I would trust that someone, didn't know who, didn't know how, but that before I hit the ground, I would indeed be caught and guided to safety. And that was an incredible experience. And catching people flying from the sky as they are yelling flying and you say set, I am set, even though you have no idea where that body is flying from, but you were sure as you see them fly, you would race, you would put yourself under them, that you are ready to catch this life, this exhilaration, and guide it to safety. And so I learned in that time working with the Diavolo Dance Company about trusting others, because my instinct always has been to trust myself. I make a joke all the time, and you may have heard me on stage talk about it, or if you know me, I've talked about it so very often, where I say, in a state of an emergency, the person that I would want to trust, the person I would want in an earthquake, in a flood, in a hurricane, in a natural disaster, if I was on a plane that went down, the person that I would want to be there would be me. It would be me. I know I have paramedic training. I know that I have incredible physical skills. I know that I am brave, that I am strong, that I am courageous. I could jump off a cliff into a raging ocean. I could jump out of a plane. I could ride a horse bareback. I could take care of medical needs. The person I have always wanted when I was in a state of an emergency was me. I never think about it being someone else that I would want there. And so that is why I chose to figure skate, to high dive, to do gymnastics, to dance, to do these things I do, high wire trapeze. And the people that I have trusted were dance partners that I've worked with that knew my body. They knew my motion. They knew my energy. A catcher on a trapeze that knows how I extend my arms when I fly, and he knows how I'm going to fly, and he's going to catch that energy. But it's someone that specifically has watched me fly. But to trust people I don't know, to trust everyone that's there, to trust that when I am just flying, that somebody somewhere will hear that I am flying and they will catch me, and that I've developed a safety amongst these people that all have the same belief and all have the same synergy. And it's perfect, because now as I'm working on all of these bridal projects and the things I'm doing, I have learned mastery in teamwork and building a team. I have learned to trust others with my life, my ideas, my consciousness, my thoughts, and that I can fly, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, and I will indeed get caught as long as I am yelling, flying, and I hear set and the energy is matched for me to take my flight, whether that be to the universe, the people that I meet, whatever I am doing. What an extraordinary, extraordinary experience. And so from that, that launched just the domino effect of all these unbelievable and incredible and magical and marvelous experiences for me. And so last week, my dear friend, Yakov Smirnoff, and he will be on the show talking to us, and tomorrow, I'm so excited, he's on our Hourglass Bride, and he has Happily Ever Laughter. And he talks about relationships in the giving and the receiving, and why relationships work, and what it is when we give people the gifts of ourselves in such a magical and enchanted way. And so I had the opportunity to see his show, and we had a birthday dinner afterwards. And I realized that everybody that was at that table, all of those people that sat around that table to celebrate my birthday and who had this experience of being opened by Yakov's laughter and his wonderment and his fun, but everybody that was there was in flight. And every other person that was there was yelling set and was catching. Every single person supported the other's visions, the other's dreams, the other's talents, the other's goals, the other's lives, the other's hopes, the other's dreams, whatever that would be. It was just breathtaking and intriguing and riveting and romantical and all of these things all at once, to sit there and to say, this is my life. Not only do I fly, but everything around me is in flight. And right now, I'm actually at the Transformational Leadership Council meeting. And I went outside right before I came to do the show, and the entire area, and when I say entire area, like a golf course, like fountains and parks and all the greenery and all the water in front of me, the sky was filled with hummingbirds. I have never seen, it was swarms and swarms and swarms and swarms of hummingbirds. And I almost couldn't take the next step to even get here to be on the show today. I just stood frozen in time with my eyes open as big as my head, watching these hundreds of thousands of hummingbirds. And I realized this is their space. This is their world. This is where these hummingbirds live. And I have entered their world. It's not that they came or flew past me. I have entered this place that's like hummingbird paradise. And they were dancing and flying up and down and forward and back and up and down and forward and back and just flittering and floating from space to space. And I thought about us flying up and down and forward and back and up and down and forward and back, and how we can do these extraordinary things. We can take our past and we can let our past go, and we can leap into the future, and we can go high above everything and look down, and we can go below a situation and look up and see what's supporting it, and that we are just like these hummingbirds in flight. And it was such a beautiful picture in my mind's eye. I never could have pictured a more beautiful scene than this. And then I look at this week, and as I've been awake since Diavolo, at flight and at catching and at all of these things, and Mary Morrissey, when she was talking about each day being a vignette, and when she did her prayer of being awake, of that before she puts her feet on the floor, before she steps into the new day, how she is so grateful that this life that was only given to her, that she can live it in a way that nobody else can live it, that she was given this particular day on this particular planet, and that this is a mini vignette of life. And as she spoke her words, her husband sang. And I actually had blogged the other day saying it was the most beautiful thing that I have ever heard, other than the beating of the human heart. And I sat there vibrating in this essence of light and love and envelopment that every day has that joy. Every day has that infinite possibility. Every day has that hope. Every day has that light. Every day has that love. Every day has that compassion. And just when I thought that was the cherry on the sundae, Barbara Marks Hubbard spoke about her vision for the future. And after she spoke, and I truly believe, for those of you who know Barbara Marks Hubbard, who's just extraordinary, and if you don't, please find her. She is what I would consider Mother Earth. We say Mother Earth. She is the mother of this planet. She is the mother. She is the vibration. She is the presence and the vision and the dream for the planet in which we are standing on and living. And I was really honored because after she spoke, they asked me if I would be interviewed to talk about her work. And all I could think of was, several months back, I was with Don Miguel Ruiz and with Gabrielle Nostrovich and with Ray Blanchard and some of my dearest friends in Mexico City. And we were invited to an event that was the 100 most influential people. And there were people that were making a difference in the field of education. And there were people that were making a difference in taking care of animals to make sure that animals were not abused. There were people making sure that wives were not battered, or environmental system, or in changing our political system. All these people had different platforms, and they were the most influential people in their field that were there. And they were there to collaborate, and they were there to create videos and projects and to be able to stand up and make a video that says we are working on this particular subject, whether that be environment, whether that be spousal abuse, whether that be protecting the animals, or whatever it was that they were working on. And if you, whatever country you are in, are interested in that or working on that, find us and together we can make a difference. So it was the most, being in that room was like being in a vortex of the solutions of the universe. And then while I was there, they brought Barbara Marks Hubbard on the screen and they did a video teleconference with her. And what I had the chance to see was that somebody would get up and they would ask a question into the microphone in Spanish or in their native tongue. And for whatever language they spoke, there was a translator next to them. But before the translator even had a chance to translate their question into English, you would watch the screen and Barbara Marks Hubbard, as they were saying the question, she was listening with her heart. And as they were speaking, she would start to weep, or she would start to laugh, or you could see an idea just brighten her eyes. She listened with her heart. She heard the question with her heart, not with her ears. She wasn't able to see them. We were able to see her, but she listened to the question with her heart, reacted with her whole being, and then gave the answer, and then gave the solution, and then gave the vision, and then gave the hope. And her words would move the hundreds that were in that room. And that was the first experience that I ever had. I've always known how powerful her work was. I've always known that she is here as a global shapeshifter on this planet, and she's doing extraordinary work, and that she really is the one, you know, she's our Neil Armstrong on the moon. She is the person that we have sent to say we can do this. But I did not know that it is a vessel and a vehicle for every emotion that lives, for every idea that's embodied within her, and that's how powerful she is. And so to have Mary Morrissey here the other day doing the opening prayer, to have Barbara on stage, and all of the many extraordinary people that we have here is just such a blessing. As we talk about transformational media and how do we make movies and television shows that actually make a difference on our planet and on our world, and how do we lead people in a different way, and all of these subjects that are so important. And this is only the first, second, third day of my new year. And all of these things I'm stepping into as every day, like Mary said, is a little mini vignette. Today is an entire lifetime. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Today, nobody gets to experience the experience that I'm experiencing, and I get to choose my every moment and experience, and I get to yell flying and have the world yell set and be able to take these leaps and these chances and be able to experience them in a very different way. And so it's been wonderful to have that arc from last year of standing in the darkness and offering the light, to maybe not being able to see dark anymore, but being able to see how we are all together, how we are all connected, how we are all part of the same journey, of the same fold, of the same seamlessness that we have running through us and running with us. And so that's just absolutely extraordinary, and I love that. So from Marvelous, and then last week, as part of that week, I had the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be at CEO Space, where we talk about collaborative cooperation. And so that's really an amazing journey, anybody that's looking into CEO Space. So we came on today to share this experience with you, which certainly has been a marvelous way to start the year and a marvelous way to be able to leap, to be able to catch, to be able to learn, to be able to explore, to be able to journey, and to be able to share. And then as the week's coming on, we are stepping back. Since I was at TLC, we are just today stepping into you to share with you this love and light. But as you can look and see our upcoming guests, which, oh my goodness, we have so many wonderful people. And Neil Rogan, as I was talking to you today, is coming on. Matt Weinstein is coming on. DC Cordova is with us next week, talking about money and you and the relationship of money and you. So I thank you so much for journeying in with us, for being with us today. It has been fabulous, and I so look forward to connecting with you next week.